Welcome to the Eventual Millionaire Podcast with your host, Jamie Tardy. Real talk and real advice from real millionaires with a sharp focus on you, the eventual millionaire.
Welcome to Eventual Millionaire. I'm Jamie Tardy, and I am so excited to have Brian Clark on the show today. He runs copyblogger.com, and I remember way before I ever started my blog, I used to read that one. So I'm really excited to have him on the show. He's got a whole bunch of new things going on. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Brian.
Happy to be here, and I dressed up just for you.
So. I know. He's like, this is video? No? Yeah, like, yes.
Wait, I was told there would be no video.
Oh, no. I'll have to whip someone if they tell you there's no video.
No, that's my assumption.
You hope. We're all like this. Whenever we do interviews, it's always like, no video. Unfortunately, I'm mean. So therefore, yay.
I always tell people that I didn't get into this internet thing to, you know, wear nice clothing. So.
No kidding, right? Seriously, I'm wearing yoga pants under. It is what it is, right? That's what we do. Awesome. So I'm sure tons of people that are listening has already heard about Copy Blogger Media and everything that you do, but give us a rundown really quick so everybody knows the breadth of what you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, the long short story is I used to be an attorney in 1998. I quit to do this internet thing, floundered around for about a year, and then kind of figured out that building audiences with content, which later became known as content marketing, was a great way to build businesses as long as you sell something other than advertising. So I went on that path from 99 to 2005. And then I was looking for the next thing I was going to do, and I decided to start a blog that talked about what I had done with content and copywriting and all this stuff, and that was Copy Blogger. And built an audience, started launching products off of it. By 2010, I had, I don't know, four or five different startups that I had launched off of Copy Blogger. They all did seven figures in revenue. We merged several of them together because we had a bigger vision of wanting to build kind of an all-in-one solution. That is now out, and it's called the Rainmaker Platform. That's the very short version of what has happened over 17 years.
It's insane that it's been that long. And that's the one thing people look at you, because in general, we've got a bazillion bloggers out there like trying to make it and really push forward. And when you see the timeline that you've been through, 17 years, I mean, don't get me wrong, like you've done.
And it's even been 9 years, 9.5 since Copy Blogger started. I don't know how that happened. I you know, because I was starting a blog to kind of show people what I could do. And I knew I would attract collaboration opportunities and whatnot. And that's, of course, what happened. But it was never like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this for the next 10 years of my life. So it's interesting. It's been a fascinating journey.
Well, why do you think that is? Because that's the thing. I started mine, same thing. It was like mine was a test. Like, let's see how to do this blogging thing. And hey, it worked out pretty well. But most people stop and they don't do it. But you continued on. So why did you become so successful over everybody else that's doing very similar things or trying to and not?
Well, I think I had the right topic at the right time. It's interesting to talk about now because it's hard for people to believe that in 2006, if you said you should sell stuff on a blog, that they thought you were Satan. And now we've got this over hyper commercialized, everyone's out for the money, you know? So there's been a huge evolution that I'm not sure everyone really appreciates. But even the old school bloggers at the time who didn't like that message didn't realize that their audience did. So whether they linked to me and said he's great or they linked to me and they said he's evil, everyone was like, we're going over there. But let me put it this way. For the first 3 months, I was unknown, crickets chirping, just like everyone does, and I kept going. I don't know how many big ideas I had that didn't work, and then one did, and that was kind of the breakthrough catalyst where enough people found me. And then, you know, with a blog, once enough people find you, I call this the minimum viable audience. In one regard, because of social media, they start growing the audience for you. So you have to break through that period, and we all go through it, and it's lonely and frustrating, but I think that's really a big part of the difference. I think I had a good topic, but a lot of people start blogs with great topics, and they just don't quite make it past that hump.
Did you know that you were at the beginning of a trend? Because that's the thing. People that aren't seeing a lot of success. I mean, the thing is it's going to take a while to start chugging along and a lot of action and a lot of keep going. But right. when some people are in that, they're like, is this just wrong? Like, did you know or yeah. at the time that you were in front of a trend? Like, even I think of John Dumas in podcasting, and I was like, that's an upward trend. I have a client that does Amazon affiliate. That's a super upward trend. Like, they're crushing it. But most people that aren't in that don't know. Like, did you know beforehand that this was a trend that was moving up?
I knew that it had helped me build 3 successful businesses. I knew it was a real thing. I knew this is how the internet worked, as opposed to ideas of banner ads and all of that kind of stuff. So I had a certain amount of self-validating confidence that at least I knew what I was talking about. But yeah, there are days when you're like, you know, what is going to happen with this? So I think here's a piece of advice that worked really well for me. Copyblogger was a complementary angle, if you will, to the larger blogging scene. So therefore I became friends with everyone instead of competing, you know, and that can be a tricky thing to figure out, but you have to be a complementary resource and you have to give your perspective without going, well, that's wrong. You know, that's not going to win you any friends. And usually no one else is wrong. It's just a different perspective. So if you can share a perspective that resonates, that's also complementary to what they're perhaps learning somewhere else, that can really take off for you.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever want to quit though? Like when you're in it and slogging and being like, eh, did you ever want to quit?
Excuse me. 3 months. I mean, I know I need, you know, 3 to 6 months for something to get going. So I was at that halfway mark when it actually kind of took off. So I was still chugging along. If I would have gone to about 9 months without anything, I'd be like, you know, I could be doing something else.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit, we were just talking about Unemployable and this whole new thing that you just launched, which I want to know, what was the reason behind launch? I mean, I know you launched a whole bunch of new really awesome stuff, but yeah. What was the reason behind launching this specific piece, especially with so many successful companies that you already have?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm known as a blogging guy. And then when in 2008, when we accepted the terminology content marketing, which we still don't think is the best term, but it's what we've got. It's a $44 billion industry now. You know, you're going to roll with that. And then I became a content marketing guy. And of course, everything I've done since 98 has been content-based, audience-based, building email lists. You know, fundamentally, that's all the thread that runs through it all. But I've started 9 businesses and 8 of them succeeded. And when I step back, I mean, the big realization for me in 99, because I originally wanted to be a writer who made a living on the internet. And then I found out I was an entrepreneur who could write. And that was a big mindset shift for me. So when I look back on it, you know, I don't think of myself as a blogging guy or a marketing guy necessarily, even though those are key components. I'm passionate about entrepreneurism. So, and there's a lot of part of the whole startup bro scene that annoys me to death, because it's just teaching them how to play a game that benefits venture capitalists. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm more like I identify more with the scrappy freelancer solo who has made the leap or is about to make the leap. You know, like you help people do this, right? And they're getting started. Because I was a solo at one point, and now, you know, I've got 55 employees and we do 8 figures a year. So my evolution, I just didn't jump to this. It was a true evolution. And I learned things at each phase, and I got a little more sophisticated, and I got better at some things and worse at others, and then gradually. So that's the point behind that project. Talk about the whole picture and not just content. Or not just marketing, because it's also product development, it's pricing, it's legal, it's finance, it's all these things. So it was just the next step of something I wanted to do so that I could have a broader conversation than just create great content.
I've been saying that before. For a while, yeah, right? Exactly. Oh, so that's what's really, really awesome. You can really help people in all, and I mean, you know, business is crazy. There's so many aspects. So really, when somebody's quitting their day job or like becoming a solopreneur first, right, this is how you help them. Do you think that they should have a dream of a 55 person company, or should they be looking short term going like, okay, let me just see if I can do this? Cause it didn't sound like you had a dream of a 55 person company. You're like, I'm going to write.
That's such a great question, because I actually addressed that on one of the early episodes of the Unemployable podcast. I said, look, at this, you know, I was basically what's called a portfolio entrepreneur. I had several companies running at once, and that's a great thing. I was actually making, if you really want to get into it, probably just as much or more money than when we started the larger company, just because you've got all these income sources. They're small, low overhead companies. So to me, that's the perfect kind of situation. But I explained, well, okay, why did you screw that up, Brian, and merge them all together? Because that's what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. From an ambition standpoint, it wasn't about money. It was about, what's your goal? And okay, what kind of company do you have to do that? And so I now have the kind of company that I needed in order to achieve the goal that me and my partners had together. But I basically say, hey, unless you've got that goal, don't do it. My hair has turned more gray. This is why I'm wearing the hat. You
know, I love
the
that.
Last 5 years. And everything has been wonderful. We've grown every year. We've accomplished our goals. The future still looks sunny. But I'm just saying, when you're responsible for 50 families, you know, that's a big responsibility. I don't take it lightly. And I'm completely happy with where I am. But I'm just saying, you don't have to aspire to this. There's some amazing things. I just talked about how the number of single person companies that make over $1 million a year is continuing to grow year after year. And it's because of technology, virtual staffing, the internet, audience building, all of this great stuff. So yes, in 98, that's what I wanted, not to be CEO, but I don't care. I'm good with it.
I'll deal. No, yeah, I think that's what's so insane. I have a client that does 1.2 million on his own. I was like, you don't have anyone helping. Like, I have three people on my team. Like, I don't have enough time to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, looking at somebody that's being solo, you can do so much more with the leverage that we have of the internet. So give me some outlines for people, because, you know, we all want, just tell me how to do it, Brian. So you tell us what you think the best process for really growing your business, because it's a business. It's not just content marketing, which is why I really appreciate you broadening the scope, because no offense, people would come to me and go, I want to start a podcast. And I'm like, well, that's a marketing tactic. What are you selling? What's your business model? I know, there's got to be a business.
Oh, wait, you mean there's here. More?
I know.
That was like the early blogging days. I have a blog. Okay, what's your business objective? What?
I know. Wait, what? I'm going to make money. And everybody like make money from advertising. I agree with you 1,000%. So when somebody's getting into this, we have people probably within, you know, from a few months in to a few years into this, usually doing like a side hustle or just quit their job or have been doing it for a couple years. What do you suggest for them to really level up? Because that's what everybody wants. They're like, Brian, tell me how to level up in this.
Exactly. I actually use that language in
really?
The unemployable, because
we're the same person, Brian. You didn't know
exactly. Just my female doppelganger.
Yes.
So for years, I've been preaching build audience, build audience, build audience. And I'm not deviating from that at all. 100%. I think the truly successful modern businesses, especially the smaller ones from solo to just a few people, kind of depend on having that warm group of people that resonates with you. I always talk about with product and service development, it can be truly innovative, it can be better, it can be cheaper, but the really powerful one is it's your thing as opposed to someone else's thing, because that's how we buy from people we like and we resonate with. So it's very powerful. That said, in my collaborations and business partnerships since Copyblogger started, I was the audience guy, and I wouldn't want to be any other guy in that equation. But the guys and gals who were my partners weren't necessarily the audience person. They had other skills. So therefore, every person needs to figure out how they can collaborate somehow. It can be, you know, through freelance relationships, or it can be a joint venture, or it can be a more serious partnership. But I'm big on collaboration. So if you're not the content/media person, great. Find someone to partner with. Just like all my partners came to me and said, how about this? And I'm like, yep, sounds good. Now, the only thing I'll say about that, if you're an audience person, you may realize this. You'll say no to 95% of the people who come to you, and you have to. It's like Steve Jobs said, what you say no to is more important than what you say yes to. So through the process of people coming to me, I only chose the ones that were really bringing value to the audience. And I think that's why I haven't screwed up too badly yet.
I love that. Okay. I mean, seriously, you have to be like a crazy gatekeeper. There are so many people coming at you wanting access to your audience. It's insane. But I really want to dive into this partnership and what you decided to do. Because when we think about like solopreneurs, especially when you first start, you're like, well, let me just figure out me first and then we'll deal with everybody else. But I mean, my mentors keep telling me to get a partner. And I'm like, I like employees. I don't know that I like having a partner. Tell us how you can see people really working on that. Like, should we just get partners? Because you have one and apparently it's working out really well for you. You have a couple. Yeah. Or should we like use and collaborate, but without like partnership agreements and just help each other? Like, what is the best methods that you've seen and what hasn't worked?
That's interesting. So when I got out of the businesses that I was in before Copyblogger, they were virtual real estate brokerages, and they were really successful from a marketing standpoint, but I wasn't very good at systems and processes. So the businesses, we had very happy clients because I worked 18 hours a day, you know, chaotically, yeah. Right? And that's how I'm driven. I'm not going to let any ball drop, and yet I won't take a step back and actually work on my business instead of in it, the old classic e-myth thing, yeah. Right? So when I got out of that, I'm like, no, and there weren't even employees. I had partners and I had independent contractors in real estate. You know, that's how it works. But I was like, man, you still have to manage them. and that really had gotten to me, I think. So my plan was that no employees, only collaboration of whatever the project required. And then, of course, now I have 55 employees. So don't listen to me at all. But that was the plan. And I would say for you, for example, if you have the managerial systems and temperament to hire right away and you've got the capital and or the income coming in, yeah, sure, because you're preserving equity, right? With the things I wanted to do, such as software, I'm not a coder. So at that time, and it's funny because the early partnerships kind of just happened by, you know, let's put on a play. You know, you start talking about something, you're like, yeah, let's do that. And then it just kept evolving that way. So maybe I wrote that script early by doing obvious collaborations, and then other people said, maybe I can collaborate with them. And then it just kind of snowballed into that. So if I were starting right now with just a more mature entrepreneur, more aware of processes and how to do all that, if I were to start a company fresh today, it'd be me and I would hire people. But getting to where you want to go, you know, you do it by, it's almost like, I wrote this post for this newsletter I do for fun, and it was about the tyranny of goals, where you set a goal and then you just blindly plow forward towards it, even though, hey, this was a better thing over here. No, I'm going this way. Oh, this looks like it's going to be a disaster. No, I'm keeping going, you know? And we do that because we don't like uncertainty. But I'm very good at just kind of surfing the waves, and that's how things worked out for me.
Okay, so now
let me point out, even yeah. if I started a new company, there are things I'd like to do where there would be a collaborative model. It's kind of like one of my original plans back in the day was to just partner with people. Say, for example, they want to create an online course. You know, I'm really good at that and have been doing it for a long time. So I would collaborate with them. We'd do it together. We'd make more money than they would do alone. I would still do that, right? Because mm-hmm. that's tapping into someone else's skill and asset base. Mm. So that's a different type of collaboration.
Like
that's
a project more like basis.
Project or asset building thing where you have a portfolio of companies that aren't your primary responsibility to run, but they're bringing you money. That's like being an investor, but more sweat equity level.
Okay. I have a question on that though, because typical entrepreneurs, people I work with, you work with, you know, all that stuff are a little ADD. Right? We're a little like squirrel, right? So, yeah. So I see how fun that is of going, because I just see a lot of people going, but I have three companies. And I'm like, okay, how much are you making? Well, I have a day job. I am not even close. You know what I mean?
They better all be kicking off.
Exactly. See, this is... exactly. I'm like, yeah. So let's start with one, make a lot of money. So to me, when I hear like, oh, we'll just do a collaboration here and here and here, it's kind of
systems based approach.
Okay. You know?
So
we just have to clarify this for people. Okay.
In 2000 and 2010, it was, you know, it was a very deliberate analytical process of, is this good for my audience? Is this a viable, you know, money-making project? All of that kind of thing. And the ones I said yes to were correct. So yeah, you can't just willy-nilly do things. And I get that. I mean, I think I'm as ADD as anyone, but once I decide to focus on something, I can ignore everything else. And sometimes that annoys people who send me email because,
like, nope. I'm not behind the wall. That's awesome. So I want to dive into, and I'm not even sure if you're okay with sharing some of this stuff, so you just tell me. I usually ask that at the beginning of the interview. I totally forgot. I want to know how you launched Unemployable, because I want to know how somebody right now is doing it to the nth degree, right? So like, I know you have a podcast, everybody should join it. I know you have a bunch of stuff that you launched with this. You already have an audience, so that negates some of this for some people. But I'm just wondering, what were those steps that you took to really make this a big splash for you?
Yeah, first of all, so I never apologize for the unfair advantage of having an audience. That's why I tell you it's so important. Everything
like 17 years.
Yeah, I mean... So the Unemployable audience is a subset of the broader copy blogger audience, yep. But it's still a start, right? So yes, that is part of it. So let's forget that part and talk about how I would have done basically the same thing if I didn't have that audience.
Thank you.
So basically it's a new podcast, you know, like your blog content, you're out there in the world content to hopefully bring people back to the mothership, which is unemployable.com. So the podcast is syndicated through our podcast network. It's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, all of that kind of good stuff. Then when you get and check out the site, you'll see that there are certain member-only features that if you register, you get more than just the podcast. And of course, that's tied to an email list so I can notify people. But the real, you know, catalyst, I guess, for getting people on that list is the promise of a free series of webinars that are coming up in the next 3 or 4 months. One each month is the plan so far. Like really pure education, no pitch. There's nothing for sale. That's why there's no pitch. Webinars. So, you know, people will register for a webinar, and that's a great list building approach. So I figured, why not do a series of webinars as opposed to starting another blog or whatever, because I do have a fairly busy day job.
You know.
But this project is a personal project, but it's also perfectly tied into growing and expanding the audience for Copyblogger and the Rainmaker platform. The site's built on the platform, so it's a demonstration of that. The platform is a sponsor of the show. So you can see how it ties in to existing business objectives while still satisfying my need to talk about something more than just content marketing.
I love that. How are you finding, because we talk about lead magnet content marketing all the time. How are you finding that people, now, number one, they already know, like, and trust you, so of course it's a little bit easier. But when we think of that webinar series and it's a couple months, like we have to wait a long period of time and they're just hopping on the list to know eventually they're going to get good content from you. Is that a good enough oomph if they didn't know you already or no?
Yeah. Again, it's hard to separate that out. So the initial podcast episodes have been well received. And I think that's indicating to people that the webinars are going to be really good. And again, I can't wait too long on the webinar. You know, the first one has to come out in the next few weeks. But then the next one will be a month out, and you know what I'm saying. So you gotta follow up on your promise pretty quickly. I would say if you're completely unknown, you might want to have that first webinar in the bag, right? So we all do things based on, you know, our 17-year overnight success, right? You know, if you're starting out, everyone is at a different point, and so you adapt accordingly. So a great strategy to build a list if you're completely unknown, you could mimic what I'm doing with Unemployable, have guests on the webinars who have authority and audiences, and then try to figure out how they're going to promote you to their audience, and don't just expect them to. Those days are kind of over. But, you know, John Lee Dumas, he built that entire podcast. Talk about the first few months, same story. He said, no one was there. And then all of a sudden, some of my guests said that was a great interview, and they promoted me to their audiences, and it caught on fire, no pun intended.
On fire. You know, me and John went to high school together, and I was his coach to start his podcast, right?
I did not know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was, yeah.
I would take credit for him every day.
He goes, I need to wear an I Heart Jamie Tardy t-shirt. I'm like, I'm going to buy that for you, and yes, you're going to wear it. Yeah, he was cool in high school, and I was not. And then when he came to me, I was like, see? Look, he's cool now. Exactly. No, we're really good friends. But it's so amazing. But when we think about that model even now, that was a few years ago. And so people come to me and they're like, do what you did with John Dumas. And I'm like, okay, interview, daily interview show, not going to work like it did way back when.
No, what I would do if I had enough of an initial budget, mm-hmm. you know, do that kind of strategy and then say, look, I want you to do this webinar. I'm going to compensate you for your time. And, you know, if you would promote this webinar to your list, then we'll do it as a form of sponsorship instead of just asking for a freebie. Now, that does take a little bit of money, but it's not compared to starting a Subway franchise or something. You know, I mean, the fact that we can start these multi-million dollar businesses or just multi hundreds of thousands, depending on what you want to do, that's still pretty great. And the fact that you can do that for a very, very low cost, thanks to the leverage, as you mentioned, of the tools and the reach and other people, as long as you treat them well, right? So, you know, I used to be very generous about doing every single conference and thing or whatever and not charging money for anything at all. And my attitude hasn't changed. It's my bandwidth. I can't do that anymore. And then when you might run into someone who has a sort of entitlement issues that you should do whatever they'd like you to do, then you're just like, what world are you living in? Okay, that's not how it works. So those are really the only things. I don't have enough time. And some people think, because of examples like John and others, that, well, this is just how it works, so you're going to do this for me. And I'm like, no, it's always what's in it for them, with your prospects, with your customers, your clients, your audience, and your partners, right? What's in it for them? Why? Why should they do this?
Yeah, it has to be a no-brainer on both sides. Otherwise, someone feeling like they're getting the short stick, right? But I think that's the thing that's really difficult. It always comes down to time or money, right? So you're like, okay, time or money, these are the things that we have. And I think a lot of new entrepreneurs have issues. I think we're entitled now because of the internet, right? Where I could start a business for $12.
Trust me, it's never been that way. Now, I've never invested huge amounts of money or even – so and this probably doesn't help, but I literally started Copyblogger with $1,000, web hosting fees, and then I became profitable. And I did that by testing out a few affiliate offers to see what my audience – so it's like market research, but I became profitable. But it was such a low amount – you didn't need to earn. But what I didn't get back was my time.
Exactly.
I worked a lot, right? And I was making money for the first 17 months of Copyblogger before we launched our first product doing other projects. So even that is sort of a side hustle. But you got to show up for that audience, you know, to keep building it.
What do you say to the people that feel like they're hustling, right? So they're like, I'm taking the actions. I'm still moving forward. I'm not that person that's quitting, but I'm not seeing the results that I really want to. Like, I'm not hitting the goals that I really want to. And it seems like I'm doing all the right things, but everybody's telling me to do this stuff and I'm doing it and it's not working like it's supposed to.
Yeah. All I can say about that is, you know, the old definition of insanity. You can't keep doing the same things if it's not working. And again, same thing at the beginning of Copyblogger or at the beginning of any project I do, even when I have the benefit of an initial audience segment as a catalyst, sometimes I don't get it quite right. And it's a constant improvisation, iteration. It's you keep getting indications of what's working, what's not. You got to double down on what does and eliminate what doesn't. And I wish I had some magic formula for that other than don't get so wedded to your ideas. You know, you got to kill your darlings sometimes. If it doesn't work, move on to something else, and make sure it's something that's designed to resonate with them as opposed to what makes you feel cool, right? Because that's not what it's about. And that's the number one thing. I swear it's our own egos, and I have just as much of one as anyone. I just got wired a long time ago to realize that one of my favorite sayings is a successful entrepreneur is a highly compensated servant. And if you don't have that servant mentality, you're not going to be highly compensated. And some people can't do that. They want to be the badass entrepreneur who everyone is kissing up to. If you're in it for that, you're not going to make it. Contrary to other, you see personalities out there that seem that way, but I guarantee you underlying that is a identify problems and desires and satisfy them relentlessly. And then some people decide they want to be a jerk. That's who they are. Well, okay. But I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I've never, it's funny, I've never heard that quote, and it's huge to me because I feel like, and I feel like content marketers have this better bent that I had, was chatting with someone the other day, and I'm in a mastermind group with Pat Flynn, and they were like, you and Pat and these people seem authentic and actually like real people. And then we have the skeezy internet marketers. Don't get me wrong, not all of them are skeezy, but there's some like skeezy internet marketers where you're like, I feel like they're just taking and not giving. Is it just like the content marketing piece in general that really allows us to serve and give? Like, is that what you feel like is that servant piece?
The mindset of giving value before taking any back, mm-hmm. I think changes you forever. And the fact that it works so well, I mean, everyone is doing content in one way or another, even with paid traffic. You know, conversion rates go way up if you get them on an email list instead of trying to sell directly. How do you get them on an email list? Well, you got to provide content. So even if it's not the constant stream of a blog or a podcast, there has to be value given up front. And I know some really ethical internet marketers who have gotten that religion fairly well. And I know some skeezy ones who are doing it too. So
I know, right?
This really comes down to, you know, hopefully that the trust isn't abused later. And that I think that's where we're at now. What do you do after you get someone in your audience? And before it was audience, you know, I don't want that. I just want to sell people stuff. So
That's a huge key distinction. It's funny. We're doing a launch soon and I'm doing this challenge and we were working on the challenge and they're like, so what are you going to sell at the end of it? And I was like, I was just going to do the challenge. I just want to help people. And they were like, yeah.
Well, that's like with unemployables. Will there be something for sale eventually? I think so. And of course there's sponsors in the form of the platform and stuff like that. But
yeah,
no, I just want to do this. And yeah. I think that's another important thing, which is, we all love money. Let's not even pretend we don't.
Thank you. We love money. I'm going to sell something eventually. Don't worry.
But you know, early on, I think when I started realizing that I was really passionate about being an entrepreneur, something clicked. And you get to the point where you spot opportunity everywhere. Like you'll figure out how the mortgage brokerage business works or whatever. And you're like, oh, I could totally kill it in that if I did this, this, and this. And then I always stop and go, but I don't want to be in that business, right? It can't just be money driven. Some people are primarily, but even people on, let's say people who run hedge funds or on Wall Street, once they make a livable amount of money, it's a game. That's all it is. And they're trying to play the game bigger and better than anyone else. So entrepreneurism, I think, is like that too, in that, I don't know. The artistic side of being an entrepreneur, the creative side, is satisfying an inner desire of your own while also being that servant to others. And if it's just the money, you're going to be going, oh, I am miserably rich. And it makes you no happier than being poor.
And that's the reason why I do these interviews, right? Like, I want to show that people are doing things that they adore and love and can't get enough of. And make a whole bunch of money, because that's sort of the whole point, right? I mean,
it is the sweet spot.
So much better. I tell my team, like, it's all about, I care about testimonials. No offense. That's like my thing. Like, if I get a testimonial, that's, I love money too, but that's, but that's like my thing. The more I can do that, the more I'm helping people's lives, and it works so well. So what if somebody doesn't have that, or they don't know what it is that really gets them jazzed up besides the money right now? Because, you know, when you don't have the money is really important, right?
Yeah. So the way I'm thinking, and maybe it's just because that was my path and why I'm trying to talk to the freelancer slash, you know, small business entrepreneur, is starting there will teach you more about ultimately what your thing is than having a job, having an idea and thinking you're going to get super rich with your new product or SaaS or, you know, like leapfrogging ahead. Now, can that happen? Of course it can. It does happen. But the failure rate's pretty high. When you haven't learned how to run a business, serve clientele, you know, I know everyone that serves clients, even those who really love working with clients are like, man, I wish I had a product or a service to sell, right? That's natural. That was part of my evolution as well. But you figure that out, I think, by paying your dues. And that no one wants to hear that, right? I'm sorry. But even when we take jobs we don't want to learn, sometimes we start businesses that can economically support us, like a freelance gig, you know, so you become a consultant or something so you can live independent of the system. That's what I like, you know, if you can prove you can make it out there somehow and providing services to clients may be maddening to some people, but if you can pull it off and be client focused and value focused, you're ready to take the next step. That's just my personal philosophy, and that's also the path I went down.
Well, first things first, right? Take care. Yeah. You're going to learn so much, and then you'll be ready.
You're learn what you don't like.
I've done that before. But I think that's the thing that's so interesting about your story just in general is to see how far you've come and to go, you were that guy that was doing this, and then you're quote-unquote blogger. You know what I mean? And now you have a 55-person company because of how you've evolved.
I'm pretty sure I was more clueless than most people at the beginning. And people are like, nah, whatever. But look,
of course you can say that now, Brian.
Yeah, but I was a liberal arts major.
Psychology
and sociology, my mom thought was a waste of time. It's the perfect education for social online marketing, right? But no one knew that at that time.
No.
So I didn't know what to do with that. So I went to law school. I did really well in law school, but I figured out before I even graduated that I was going to hate practicing law. And I was right. But I did that for 4 years, 94 to 98. Now, that was the beginning of the commercial web. And I would go home every night and stare at that old boxy compact computer that I used to connect to the internet. And I was like, there's got to be something here. But I had never taken a business class, never read a marketing book. And I really didn't do it correctly in that I was just so frustrated. I'm like, if I have to be a bartender in Austin for the rest of my life, then so be it, right? So I had no baggage, but I also had no clue. And they were both kind of good for me in the sense that I didn't have to unlearn anything, because traditional marketing concepts, you've seen how poorly those get applied to the internet. So the first marketing book I ever read was Permission Marketing by Seth Godin. And I was already building email lists. I'm like, oh, I got to sell something. Got it. It's the most important moment of my life. So,
wow. See, your story is so, so inspirational. And I hope everybody can see sort of, you know, because I interview millionaires, right? And everyone's like, well, they're like this. But the whole reason why we dive into you saying, I was really crappy at first was to really let people know
I was really
crappy.
You know, I'm the adopted son of a truck driver. I had no trust fund. I put myself through school and I didn't know jack, but I figured it out because I kept going. You know, that's my new catchphrase is keep going. Just try new things. just don't give up, you know? And I know that's hard advice to take sometimes because you'll be frustrated and whatnot, but look, this is your life. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. You got to make the best of it. And if this is your dream, then you got to do it.
You just gave me chills. And I think that's the thing that people need to hear over and over and over again, because sometimes we forget as much as we can. And I know we have to start wrapping up soon. You're awesome, Brian. Let me ask you the last question. It's what's one action listeners can take this week to help move them forward towards their goal of a million?
That's interesting. So going back to what we talked about, like trying to become a millionaire servant to others. I like to say, figure out, okay, we always talk about in terms of Godin and others, you know, what tribe do you want to lead? Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I became the leader or one of people that people follow in the space that I'm also a member of. I'm an online publisher who figured out things that frustrated me and pretty much shared those frustrations with others and created products and services to address those things. So sit down and think about it, and think about, where do you belong? What groups could you serve in a way that you ascend to a point of leadership? Maybe not the leader, but a leader, right? And then that positioning lets you listen better, share empathy, all that kind of good stuff, and you'll go, oh, this is what they need. And I know that sounds squishy, but it works.
So getting in and keep moving forward, and you'll figure it out as you go.
Right. But, you know, and to anymore, to become any kind of leader in any type of group, you have to be providing value first. So that could be local in the form of networking or whatnot. Online, of course, that's usually developing some form of content. And again, if you're not the content creator, think about how you might be able to collaborate somehow. Because even if you take a partner, let's say you give away 50% of your business to someone who's just really great at it could be writing, it could be a big podcast, whatever. And yet, instead of failing, your venture makes twice as much money as it ever would with you alone. Have you lost anything? And that's another thing, scarcity mindset versus abundant mindset. There's a whole world of money and opportunity out there. Don't sit there and go, mang, mang, mang. You know, you got to be generous. You got to focus on making other people happy.
I love this. So tell us where we can find a lot more from you, where how we can subscribe to the podcast, unemployable.com, like everything. Give us it all. So that way we can really make sure we're learning everything from your brain, Brian.
To get the whole package with webinars, audio lessons, the ability to record a question and hear it answered on the show, which is a lot of fun. I'm just starting to do that. Go to unemployable.com and register. It's free. Like I said, at this point, there's nothing for sale and nothing soon. And if there is something for sale, trust me, I hope it will be of high value. You could go to rainmaker.fm if you just want to check out the podcast, or search on iTunes for Unemployable. And then, of course, beyond that, we've got copyblogger.com, which is still kind of the mothership as far as content marketing goes, for our entire company. I already mentioned rainmaker.fm. That's our podcast network. I guess that's enough to get started, right?
Definitely. And it's so funny. I highly suggest everyone definitely check out unemployable.com too. But the website copyblogger.com, I was checking it out the other day and I showed it to a bunch of my millionaire hustlers, because the way that you lay it out is awesome. So everybody needs to just check that out too. It's really well done. Anyway, a side note, thank you. And this is what you do for a living, so you know what you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Brian. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I loved it. You asked really good questions.
So thanks. That was awesome. Brian is a wealth of information and has a really amazing podcasting voice, so make sure you check that out. What I also sort of a bit mentioned about during that interview was a challenge that we're going to have coming up. I don't have too many details, but I want to help you make more money in 7 days. Who doesn't want that, right? I want to focus you on the right things so we're not all ADD and crazy. And if you're excited, again, it's all free. That's what I said on the interview. If you go to eventualmillionaire.com/challenge, easy to remember, you can sign up right there. You'll be on the wait list. It's going to be starting really, really soon. So make sure you go and sign up. I cannot wait to have you a part. We're going to do a Facebook group. We're going to help you along. You can ask me questions, all that fun stuff. So have an amazing day and week and look forward to that. I'm looking forward to it too. Take care.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more great information like this on eventualmillionaire.com.